That was a blessing. That was a blessing. You know, I was thinking, and God spoke to me while she was singing. Think of that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We all carry him, don't we? And isn't it a wonderful thing that the Spirit of God has given us that life? That was very good. Very good. Really ministered. Turning your Bibles to Romans. Book of Romans. Romans chapter 5 today. We'll read several verses there. By the way, Merry Christmas. And there's some old sayings like it's not the gift under the tree, it's the gift on the tree that counts. And we think about that. And the greatest gift we could ever receive is the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we receive him, we receive eternal life, abundant life, peace, joy, all the things that come with that spiritual gift. Romans chapter 5 is about salvation. The book of Romans is about salvation. And it's also about living a life that is fulfilling, strengthened, comforted by God. That relationship to Almighty God is just a blessing. Romans 12 is excellent on that. But Romans chapter 5 talks about the gift of God. If you look with me at verse 12. We'll start in verse 12. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. For wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Obviously, that is talking about Adam. Is there a bell going off? Oh, it's back there? Okay. That's okay, Peggy. This goes out to all the countries of the world, and now they know your name and all of the problems. So anyway, whenever you hear the ding, amen, just thank God. Well, or whatever. Amen. Oh, you ordered something? Okay. Back to the scripture. Merry Christmas. Everything's fine. Everything's good. Romans chapter, let's read that verse again. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Obviously speaking of Adam. Stay there in Romans chapter 5. I just want to read a couple verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 21, the Bible says, For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. So God became flesh, that he would dwell among us. The Bible says in verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Interesting verse. Wonderful verse. We go back to Romans chapter 5 and we pick up the story. Verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. We call Christ the second Adam from above. It's in one of our Christmas songs. The first man, Adam, sinned. And judgment came upon all men because of that sin. But the second Adam, which is Christ, when he came to pay that penalty for the sins of mankind. Verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So there's condemnation through Adam. There's the free gift. There's salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, the second Adam. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. every verse is saying practically the same thing. It's showing the difference between sin and forgiveness of sin, how the payment for sin was made by the Lord Jesus Christ so that we could all receive the free gift. Three times in this chapter, it talks about the free gift. Verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why it's so important. It's so wonderful. Man is a sinner, and the soul that sinneth, it must die. But Christ died in our place, paid for our sin debt, and he said, because I live, ye shall live also. There's life in Christ. Amen? Eternal life. Father, we pray that you would bless your word today. Thank you for the emphasis of Christmas on the birth of Christ. Thank you for the song. Thank you for how you've spoken to our hearts through the hymns, through all of this, Lord. And we pray that your word would be precious to us now, and that would have an effect on all of our hearts for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. The gift, the free gift of Jesus Christ to the world. That is a wonderful, wonderful truth. In Acts chapter 8, Peter is speaking with Simon. Simon had bewitched the people. He was just a hireling, and he was not a Christian. But he bewitched the people through sorceries and through his power. And Peter came, and people began to get saved. And this man, Simon, wanted to pay for the power of God. And this is how Peter answered him in Acts chapter 8, verse 20. Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. He wanted to buy it. He wanted to buy some power that would give him more power over the people. And Peter said, you can't buy this gift. This is a free gift. That's Romans chapter 5, free gift, three times. This is absolutely free. That's a blessing, amen? You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything for it. You just receive it. Many has received him. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It's a wonderful, wonderful gift. And you don't know how precious it is until you receive it. Amen. You just know it's a gift of God. God did this. And the power and the peace and the comfort and everything comes after you receive this gift. It's like receiving a gift and it's all in a package and you've received it. Open the package. See what it is. It's a good gift. Amen. Those are blessings. In Matthew chapter 2, I wanted to bring this in because it is Christmas. Amen. And we're talking about the gift of God. In chapter 1, it tells about how Jesus came. But in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, the three wise men are coming to see the Lord. He's a baby. He's not a baby. He's a young child. And he's in a house. He's not in a manger. The shepherds came for the manger. But the wise men came to see him in this house. And we say there's three. The Bible doesn't tell us there's three, but they bring three gifts. So we think there are three wise men. But it says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. They have come from the east. They have come a long way. And when they came, this must have been so important to them that when they saw him, they fell down and they worshipped him. Something spoke to them and guided them. It was the star that brought them to Bethlehem where Jesus was. And they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, this was a great gift they were giving. They presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Think of the desire of their heart to make such a journey, to come to such a place with such treasures and bow down and worship God. Amen? Think of that. Well, we think about God's gift to us too. And we call it the precious blood of Christ. Unto you which believe he is precious. And we know that by experience. 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. How could you ever describe it? You talk about, well, it's wonderful. Man, this is a great gift. But all the words, all the adjectives, all the adverbs, all the language that you could use would not be sufficient. Amen? But seeing is believing, Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You have to partake of it. And so we are partakers of the heavenly blessing, and it's hard to describe when we talk to other people about it. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Over and over the Bible says this. Ephesians 4:7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You say, how many more verses are you going to give us, Pastor? Well, I didn't study, so I'm just going to quote 100 verses today, okay? Merry Christmas, okay. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. 1 Timothy 2:6, who gave himself a ransom for all. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Galatians 1:4, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. He gave himself. What is the gift? It's Jesus Christ. Over and over and over, the Bible says this, and it's free gift. Amen? And it's indescribable. It's so wonderful. There aren't words to describe it. You have to experience it, but it's free. Man, don't you like free? Amen? Free is good. When we had our carnival, we put all these signs out there. Free hot dogs, free snow cones, free this, free that. We had over 300 people come. And when we were advertising, we got some things printed up, and the lady that was doing it for us, she said, people like that word free. Amen? And this is free. All you have to do is taste and see of that. Jesus was passing by a certain place in the will of God, and he met this woman at the well. The disciples went into town to purchase some food, but he stayed because he must needs go through Samaria. And so he met this woman. It was a divine appointment. And Jesus said, give me a drink of water, or give me a drink of water. And then in verse 10 of John chapter 4, because she said, well, we have no dealings with you, because the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So why are you doing this? And Jesus said, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him a drink, and he would have given thee living water. If you knew the gift of God, thou wouldest. Amen? If you understand, you would want to have this, because it's such a wonderful treasure. And she eventually found that treasure. There are all kinds of gifts. There are white elephant gifts. Anybody know what that is? You ever have a white elephant party? And oh, such precious gifts, such really neat gifts. You know, there are secret Santa gifts. I came in today and Bob and Lynn got me. This is a, not now. But it's a Detroit Lions. I've been a Detroit Lions fan for forever. Yeah, well over 30 years, probably close to 40 years. And every year I say, next year. Next year. And I don't say that anymore, but I will wear this hat with pride. That was a neat gift, wasn't it? Either that or they're Green Bay Packers fans and they're just rubbing it in. I don't know. But there's all kinds of gifts. My aunts, they're with the Lord now. They passed away in their 90s. But I had come from a broken home. And they did a lot for my brother and I. They were always stable. They were always a blessing. And I remember every birthday, I would get a card, and inside the card was a stick of gum and a dime. And they were taped inside the card. Every birthday, that's what I got for my birthday from them. Now, as a child, you don't appreciate, you know, stick of gum and a dime, right? Amen? Maybe you still don't appreciate a stick of gum and a dime. And then for Christmas, every Christmas, I'm telling you the truth because I'm in the pulpit and I got the Bible open. But every Christmas, we would get a small bottle of Prel shampoo and socks. I had an older brother, 2 years older. And, you know, we'd look at each other, well, thank you, Aunt Ogie. Thank you, Aunt Betty. But inside, that really wasn't. But, you know, they were a gift to us. And it wasn't what we were receiving that this money could buy. It was their love and their care and their concern for us. It was just such a blessing. I remember I got for one Christmas, I've told you this story before, but I'm so bitter about it, I got to get it out. I got an atomic cannon. I don't know if you know what that is. Pat. I got an atomic cannon, and it was a big army truck, and on the back was loaded a missile, and you would wind it up and you'd fire it. And my cousin came over, and they were opening presents with me, and I was so happy, and he broke my atomic cannon that I wanted so bad. So pray for me. I still have real bad feelings about that. Haven't talked to him in years. But all kinds of gifts. People describe what they call the gift of a lifetime. And I want to talk about some of those, and bear with me. But somebody, I have a nice new car, and somebody gave me money to purchase that. It was somebody that was in our church in Sturgis. Can you imagine? That is a nice gift. Amen? Even a little matchbox car would be a nice gift. But, I mean, gave me money for that car. What a blessing that was. We had, in Sturgis, we had a man in our church that was a pilot. And one day we drove down to the airport, and he took my wife and I, and we went and we flew up to Kalamazoo from Sturgis and bought us dinner or whatever he bought us. And think of that. I mean, that was a nice gift. We had a man that was a bigwig, I would call him. I don't know all his titles and everything, but there was a factory in Sturgis, and he was really up in the factory. He lived on a lake, had a nice bass boat, and he told me, he said, Pastor, anytime you want to go fishing, I don't care what time it is. It could be 10 in the morning. It could be 2 in the afternoon. I don't care if I'm working. Or anytime you want to go fishing, just give me a call. And I would call him. I should put his name on here, but I won't. But anyway, I'd call him in the afternoon. He'd say, okay, give me a half hour. I'll meet you at the house. And we'd go fish for a couple hours. That's a nice present. Amen? I didn't have to buy a boat. I didn't have to buy a plane, get a license, nothing. You just did that. We had another fellow in our church, and he was a part owner of a factory, and he sold his part, and he gave the church $150,000. What a gift. Amen. And we look at all those things and we say, boy, that's got to be the greatest gift. Boy, that's a big gift. And I know I've said this before, but on a trip, missions trip to Mexico, my wife and I, imagine with me, we're in a vehicle and we're traveling down a dirt road, but the potholes were so big, you were making detours all the time and going around, and it was an old village. And in one ramshackle dwelling, there was an older lady, and she was all crippled. Remember that, Linda? She was all crippled with some kind of arthritis. Her hands were crippled. And the missionary that was ministering to her in that area, he was trying to help her. So they would bring water or they would do whatever, but it was really a shack. And before we left, we visited with her for a while. She had a piece of cardboard nailed to a board, and it was hanging up somewhere inside her shack. And she had the names of all these preachers on it. And she told me, she says, I'll put your name on that list. I'm sure she's with the Lord now. That was a long time ago. But that was a gift. And do you ever think about, you know, the greatest gift you've ever received? You ever think about that? And sometimes we think in financial terms or in something we've attained, but what about the gift of forgiveness? What about the gift of mercy? What about the gift of grace? What about the gift, all these things that are so wonderful? Think of the joy of forgiving somebody. Think of the joy of being merciful to somebody. Think of the joy of sharing the gift of salvation. There are gifts that are so wonderful, and Jesus Christ is one of those wonderful gifts, if not the most wonderful gift. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above. In the Bible, you don't have to turn there, but I want to go back to the book of Genesis. There are so many, and I'll bring out some of them. But Jacob, had deceived his brother and his father and stolen the birthright from Esau. And so Jacob has gone away from home, and he's away for a long number of years because his brother Esau said, I'm going to kill him. And so he escaped. But God told him to get back to Bethel. Bethel is Beth house. El is God, the house of God. Get back to the house of God. A little later on, after Jacob learned some lessons, he calls it El Bethel. It's not the house of God. It's the God of the house of God. And that means a lot. Amen. This is a church, but and you can meet God here. Amen. It's the house of God, but there's the God of the house of God. But anyway, Jacob has an idea. And so before he goes to see his brother, he's going to send his brother all these presents. This is a great Christmas gift. Here it is. That's Genesis 32, 13. And he lodged there that same night and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau, his brother. 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats. 200 ewes, 20 rams. 30 milch camels with their colts, 40 kine, 10 bulls, 20 she-asses, and 10 foals. What a present. Amen. And he gave all of that to his brother. Now, there's a Bible principle. And the Bible tells us in Proverbs 19:6, many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Gifts do something. Gifts are some kind of a blessing. And that's a phone on this side of the church. Amen. Maybe it's like Christmas bells. You know, Christmas bells, we could sing that. In Genesis 32, 20, this is the reason Jacob was doing this. Jacob said to his servant that was taking these gifts, behold, thy servant, tell Esau, thy servant Jacob is behind all of these gifts. And it says this, for he said, I will appease him with the present that goeth before me, and afterward I will see his face peradventure, he will accept of me. He said, I'm going to appease my brother Esau with a present. It works. It really does work. You buy something for somebody, there's some kind of a connection. Amen? We love him because he first loved us. And so we see the present, we see the gift that God gives to us, whether it's love, it's mercy, it's forgiveness, it's grace, and that endears us to him. It draws us to him. We're drawn with the cords of love, the Old Testament says. If I be lifted up on the cross, Jesus said, I will draw all men unto me. I'm giving my life for you. That means something. Amen? There's something that is given to us, and it stirs our emotions. We have in so many stories. Exodus 36, they had come out of Egyptian bondage, and they're going to build the tabernacle. And they're taking offerings. And in chapter 36, Moses said, stop, we got too much. And they gave, they wanted to give so much, and they had to be restrained from giving. Why were they giving? Because they were free now. They recognized God did that for them. Amen? It did something. You have 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the Macedonian believers, they loved God. And the proof of their love was they gave out of their deep poverty. That was something that happened. Luke chapter 21, we read about the widow's mite. You find that these Pharisees were putting lots of money in an offering, but the widow gave just a little bit, but it was all her living. And Jesus said that was a much greater gift than this. You have Luke chapter 10, the Good Samaritan. Look at all that he gave for that man that he helped. Genesis 45, Joseph giving forgiveness to his family. Acts chapter 2, the early church, they sold all their possessions, their lands, whatever, for the church to get the church started. You have the little lad with the lunch and fed thousands. You have John chapter 12, Mary and the alabaster box, which was probably a year's wages. And those all have to do with finances. But that came from their heart. That was something that they gave because they loved God. Well, here's the message today. Acts 20, 35. Paul says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus said that. Paul is reminding the believers there in Ephesus of what Jesus said. And we remind people what Paul said in the scriptures and what God says to us, so we keep sharing that message. I want to look at two things in this verse. One, it says, giving to support the weak. We are meeting a need. We are meeting a need. But God gave us something so that we could meet that need. But that is meeting a need, because it says, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak. So there's something that we do so that we can help other people. In Romania, I remember one time I went over with another preacher, and this was back in the day when most people didn't have anything back then. And there was a young woman, I think she had 3 or 4 children, and she lived in a hovel. But her husband had been killed on the job, and she was very, very poor. And Brother Mangus and I. And we each gave her a $50 bill. This was back in the day when a dollar would mean something. An American dollar means something over there. And she, tears running down her face, she was just so thankful for something like that. And you know, when we left that situation, that circumstance, we probably benefited more emotionally than she did. I mean, she was so thankful, but it did something for us. Amen? I don't know if anything like that has ever happened to you. Probably. We were on a missions trip in Mexico, and we're all sitting out, and we went with a group of people. And up on the platform, up in the front, there was one fella, and he was playing, what do you call that? A cello. And, I mean, they didn't have much money. They were building a new church building. It was just cement block and wood pews. And so they're up there and they were playing this music, and he was sitting down and something happened and it fell and it broke. And he just shocked. And I mean, you could see the tears in his eyes and he didn't know what to do. That was so precious to him. And then one of the fellows that we went with, he said, let's take an offering. And there was a bunch of us there, you know, rich Americans, you know. And so we took an offering and we bought him a new one. And you'd just watch his countenance change, amen, by giving a gift. You ever done that with anybody? And the Lord says that's a good thing to do, because that will minister to you. Not only will it be a blessing to someone else, and that's why God does something for you, that you might share that with another person. And so it is more blessed to give than to receive. But we have to receive something before we can give it. You can't give something you don't have. Amen? And so I'm not talking about finances here. I'm talking about something much more important than that. A kind word. A smile. A witness. Amen? A verse spoken at the right time. Not to hurt someone, but to encourage someone. All these things are such a blessing. We can share spiritual gifts with all of those around us, like the song said that she sang. It doesn't matter where you are, where you work, who you rub shoulders with. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Amen? And that treasure, when that is given out, gives glory to God, because it's not us. And we make sure we say, this is from God. This is from him, and how he's been a blessing to me. Boy, it's a blessing to do that. We give something away, but we're constantly receiving something else to give away, that we might receive something else that we might give away. God is merciful to the merciful. Amen? And God strengthens the weak, that we might be a strength to somebody else. God comforts us, that in all our tribulation, we can be comforted of God, that we can comfort somebody else with the same comfort whereof we are comforted of God. So if we're not comforted, we can't give comfort. If we're not merciful, we don't receive the mercy. If we're not loving, amen, God fills our hearts with love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. It's a gift. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen? He fills us. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's all His. Peace. Isn't it good to be a peaceful person and to come into a conflict and peace be still? Amen. Just have peace. Amen. Amen. We imitate Paul. We imitate God. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord. So I'm up here speaking. Now my wife is in the service, so she knows I'm telling the truth. I never get upset. That's not true. That's not true. And what do you do when that comes? Well, the Bible has answers for it, amen? And I'm not trying to show you what I do. I'm trying to show you what I'm saying, amen? And follow these words because this is so, so precious, amen? It's okay. We just add it to... We add it to everything. This is a great service. Amen? This is a great service. And thank you. Thank you. Did you know this principle too? You only keep what you give away. You know? As you give it away, we have this wonderful dog. I think it's the greatest dog in the world. You may not believe that. You might think yours is, but I think ours is the greatest dog in the world. And we get up. And that dog, we love that dog. He's only 2.5 years old. But we named him Jesse because Jesse means a gift from God. That's what the name Jesse means. And so that's his name. He is a gift from God to us. I won't tell you how we got him and all of that story, but it's miraculous. And we love that dog, and that dog loves us. And the more love we give that dog, the more love the dog gives us. And I'm telling you, every day, if you're a dog lover and you have a dog, they bring a smile to your face. You're laughing at something they're doing, right? And I mean, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And maybe you've had a dog in the past. We had 3 dogs before this. And you remember how close you were to those dogs. That is an emotional thing. Amen? But the more you give, the more you get. It says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It's in us. It's the treasure of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the living God, and that dwells inside of us. So one preacher wrote, it's a universal law. You have to give before you get. You must plant your seeds before you reap the harvest. The more you sow, the more you'll reap. In giving to others, you'll find yourself blessed. That is so true. Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified freely, given freely. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus was speaking to his disciples in verse 8, he said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, and here's the text. Freely ye have received, freely give. We have received it free, we are to give it free. Now, what have you received from the Lord? Well, I got a good job. We're not talking about anything like that. We're talking about something spiritual. What have you received from the Lord Jesus Christ? Freely give. Have you been forgiven? Then why would we not forgive others? Has he not been merciful to you? Oh, if you know the Lord, you can only go back a few days and know the Lord's been merciful to you, rather than a few years or a lifetime. He's been merciful. Amen? So we have freely received, we freely give. These are wonderful, wonderful things. And there's a joy in that because it's more blessed to give than to receive. I'm happy God loves me. I mean, I am thrilled God loves me. I enjoy that. And then when I show God's love, that is a blessing. And then God fills that void again. And when I'm merciful, you know, do you ever wonder why it says God loveth a cheerful giver? Not just finances, but a cheerful giver. He delighteth, Jesus, he delighteth in mercy, so we are to show mercy with cheerfulness. How do you get there? If you can't show mercy with cheerfulness, maybe you're not receiving enough from the Lord. Amen? Because if you receive it and you give it, boy, it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. We have in the scriptures, 2 Corinthians 4:1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We have a ministry, so we're not going to faint because we've received mercy. Romans 1:5, by whom we have received grace. 1 Corinthians 4:7, I think this is all of it. Any of these verses that I stress, I mean, any of them could be the focal point of this message, but this, I think, is. Who maketh thee to differ from another? Who maketh thee to differ from another? Man, the Pharisee comes in, the publican comes in, and the Pharisee says, I'm thankful I'm not like him. I do this right, this right, this right, and look at him. Boy, that's a terrible, terrible thing. Amen. Who maketh thee to differ from another? Isn't it good to be saved? Isn't it good to know the forgiveness of God and the love of God and the comfort of, I mean, these are wonderful, wonderful things. It says, who maketh thee to differ from another, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? We don't take the credit for it. God gives us wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It's not our wisdom, right? It's the wisdom of God. This is the way. Walk ye in it. Thank God for the gift of the scriptures. But you need the Holy Spirit to guide you into this book. To some people, they could read this and say, man, what does that mean? Isn't it good to know what it means? Isn't it good to know salvation? I mean, all of these things. And so we share salvation with other people. We have hope. Sometimes we live with what we think is a hopeless world. We preached on that last Sunday. But we have a blessed hope. We have a spiritual hope that transcends all of this. We have a hope for the future. Man, what do you have that you've not received? And if you've received it, why do you glory as if you didn't receive it? It's not you. We have the mind we have. Amen. We were born in the country we're in. We have the opportunities we have. All because of God. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2. God said to Abraham, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. That's the whole purpose of this. God blesses us that we might be a blessing to other people. And that's a blessing. Amen. He says, my son, what can we do? My son, give me thine heart. That's what Jesus is asking for today. He says, give me your heart. And then if we give him our heart, he'll give us a new heart. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things have become new. Well, I don't believe that. It's not. You have to taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And so as we receive Christ as our Savior, it becomes real to us. Isn't that amazing? It's just absolutely amazing. My son, give me thine heart. But the heart is deceitful above all things. It's wicked, but God will give us a new heart. Amen. My child, give me your sin, and I'll give you my forgiveness. The load of sin, it's quite a weight. It's quite a weight. It's heavy, you know. And it's hard to bear. But he that cometh to God is forgiven of his sins. Jesus will forgive us of all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is such a blessing. You have Isaiah 53, all our iniquities were laid on him. Acts 26, in another chapter 2, Paul's giving his testimony, and he's saying, I'm preaching the forgiveness that comes through Jesus Christ. Here's the gift again. And you open that gift, and I mean, it's just endless. It's more gifts. It's the gift of eternal life, but it's the gift of comfort, the gift of peace, the gift of joy, the gift, so many gifts, the gift of wisdom. Just such a blessing. My son, give me thine heart. 2 Corinthians 8:5. By the way, in Romans it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So when he has our heart, then everything begins to change in our life. 2 Corinthians 8:5, and this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. When he has your heart, he has you. Amen. And that is a wonderful, wonderful life. That's why it's called an abundant life. I don't know if you've ever purchased something for somebody and maybe you went to great expense and you wanted to give it to them, but maybe they didn't see the value of it, and you know, you gave it to them and then the next week you saw that it was in the trash or was given to somebody. It just didn't mean anything, or even worse than that, that gift was refused. Maybe you've never experienced anything like that, where somebody refused a gift that you had made for them or purchased for them. That would be rude, don't you think? But there would be a lost blessing in that. That would not be a blessing to the giver, the purchaser of the gift, nor to you as a rejecter of the gift. So nobody benefits from that. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That gift was purchased at a great price. Amen. Was the blood of our Savior. The gift of God is eternal life. Here it is. It's the gift. If you have received it, you can share it 1,000 times and never lose it. Amen. I mean, you have the gift. And you just, it keeps multiplying. Same thing with mercy and comfort and grace and all of those wonderful things. You just give it away. And by that gift being received from somebody else, it changes somebody else's life. And it honors the original giver of the gift because it just multiplies. Amen. This is the Christmas season. And maybe people would be more open to the gift of Jesus Christ. But it sure is an opportunity. Amen. Sure is an opportunity. Our neighbors are moving. They are from India and they're moving to Texas, and we spent some time with them. And we gave them a witness and we gave them some material, and we're going to pray for them. We're going to stay in touch with them. And we're looking forward and trusting God to the day that we hear we've accepted the Savior. Amen. Be a wonderful day. There's a gift. I hope you've received it.